From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
He's been a lifelong champion for those who work in an area that is 35 millimeters wide and those who deal with people in constant fear. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and our conversation today on the journey is with Dr. Leo Rouse, Dean of the College of Dentistry here at Howard University. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. President.
You're the first African-American president of the American Dental Education Association. Tell me a little bit about that and how you came into the presidency there.
Well, my journey is interesting, Mr. President. As you well know, I'm a Howard University alum, 69 and 73, a retired military officer, and my pathway began really at Howard. Literally, Dean Joseph L. Henry, who's my dean, Dr. Jean Sinkford, who was the first female dean of U.S. Dental School, Howard University dean, of course. I got interested in a deer when I retired and came to Howard in 97 as a clinical dean. And in 2003, I was interim dean of the college. In 2004, I became a dean. And my journey began with dental education in terms of organizational structure. I was very interested in how do I become more involved in this organization. So my first move was chairman of the Minority Affairs Committee, followed by chair of the Council of Deans. Then I got a call from a dear friend saying, I think we need to get you in to become president-elect of ADEA, and the rest is history. I'm very pleased to be the first African-American president of ADEA, but I tell folks all the time, my journey began at Howard University.
Right. Now, in your role, what was your main mission over the course of your presidency?
My main mission was pipelining U.S. dental schools and diversification and inclusivity of U.S. Dental School. Of course, you know Howard University and Meharry are the two institutions that graduate the majority of African-American dentists. And we're very proud of that legacy. But more importantly, I want to see other schools enjoy also what it means to have inclusivity and diversity in their colleges, particularly when it comes to people of color.
What is the state of the pipeline for African-Americans in dental school
today?
Well,
Mr. President, I can tell you it's a little disappointing today because we were 14% down in applicants last year. And we're working diligently to improve access to dental education via, and all healthcare education for that matter, via pipeline programs in grade schools, high schools, SMDEP program we have at Howard University, of course. But more importantly, even here at Howard University with our math and science school, as you well know, we look upon those young folks as part of that philosophy to inculcate in them the understanding of STEM and why it's so important to appreciate STEM subjects.
Right. No, certainly. Now, you speak about your time at Howard. You have a very interesting fact in your background, and that is that you once drove for a Howard University president.
Yes, I did, Mr. President.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
I was at Drew Hall one summer session, and Dr. G.T. Saunders, who was the headmaster Drew, said, young Master Rouse, here's an address. I want you to go up to this address. I said, where am I going? I said, you'll know when you get there. I went to 1610 Buchanan Street, Northwest, rang the doorbell, the door opened, thin kid with an afro from New Jersey, Howard University, third-year student, was shocked to see the president emeritus of Howard University. I'm going, wow, Mordecai White Johnson. He said, son, here's the keys to my car. 1956, Lincoln Continental with chrome. No power steering, no power brakes. I backed out of the garage and gave him, Mr. Johnson, a spin around the neighborhood. He said, son, you'll be my driver. I spent about almost 12 months between 1610 Buchanan Street, 7th and P Street, the Riggs Bank, and the Howard University Founders Library, where his office was located, escorting and driving Dr. Johnson around. And I learned what it meant, Mr. President. I'll just say it on radio, what it meant to be a Negro at Howard University. He was an influence in me staying at Howard University to go to dental school.
All right. Tell us a little bit about what he was like.
Inspiring. For me, an influence. I told my dad, who was from the South, he says, you are working for Mordecai Wyatt Johnson. Does he know Benjamin Mays? I said, yes, Dad, he knows Dr. Benjamin Mays from Morehouse College. But for me, as we rode around D.C., he loved to go down through Rock Creek Park by the Kennedy Center. As we drove around D.C., I would hear more about the legacy of Howard. I came to respect and appreciate why I'm here at Howard University. So coming back was not difficult for me. I think he influenced me to become a better student, more engaging, more involved. And during that period of time, you know, a lot of things happened at Howard. The King assassination was critical during that period of time. But for me, I became a better man.
Now, you served with distinction in the U.S. Army Dental Corps for 24 years and rose to retire in 1997 at the rank of colonel, commander and chief operating officer of the U.S. Army Dental Command. What did that experience do for you in shaping your values and principles and how you administer today?
That was an opportunity that I basically appreciated and respected because those roots began here in the Bison Brigade at Howard University. I was commissioned at Howard University in 1969. And that journey was very special to become the first African-American commander of the Dental Command for me was unique. And it allowed me to prepare myself to understand what it meant to take care of soldiers and their families worldwide. It was an awesome responsibility. I didn't take it lightly, but I learned a lot about me as a leader. My foundation as academician started in the military at the Medical Field Service School in San Antonio. My journey there got me interested in becoming an educator. And so I really respect it and understand more. And people like General Colin Powell was part of my mentors in the military, General Norman Schwarzkopf. I had men and women who really helped me understand what it means to be a good citizen and a better citizen.
Now, as you mentioned, leadership, in terms of your leadership style, the discipline that comes with it, what are some of the key principles that you try to impart on those who you try to influence in terms of leadership?
Absolutely. First of all, inclusivity and appreciation for the value of others, listening skills, how to delegate with the intent of allowing others to professionally develop. I saw a lot of young men and women in my career. In fact, in 1997, two of those young soldiers followed me to Howard University's dental school, and they're now dentists. And so I felt I made a difference in the lives of young people, and that's one of my challenges in life, to see others do what I do, hopefully one day, even better than I do it today.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Dr. Leo Rouse, Dean of the College of Dentistry here at Howard University. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Why dentistry?
Why dentistry? Mr. President, when I was in the third grade, Dr. Paul Freeman, a Howard Dental School alum, was my dentist. And I was in his lab one afternoon. He said, Leo, you have pretty good hands. You had to consider dental school. And that was my influence. That's why today, when I talk to young people, I want to see third graders, to get them exposed to what it is to appreciate now STEM subjects, but to let them know you could be anything you want to be in the world if you put your mind and your heart to it.
Now, the cost of dental school has certainly escalated over time. Student loan debt is an issue. You look at reimbursement, private practice. How are you preparing today's student to face those challenges for the up-and-coming dentists?
First of all, teach them financial literacy. Literally understand what they're getting into. I have an expression, Mr. President, when they come for the interview, I say, for the next 4 years, I want you to think poor. I don't want you to come in thinking you got to have a Maserati, live on Wisconsin Avenue, and pay $2,000 a month in rent. Understand for 4 years, your objective is to become a sound student of dentistry, and your success will depend upon your ability to understand that you cannot, okay, you cannot, I repeat again, you cannot sit back and think you're going to be a dentist until you earn the right to get the degree from Howard University.
Now, you currently serve on the expert panel of the Interprofessional Education Collaborative, representing the American Dental Education Association, and you're also a member of the National Advisory Council of the National Center for Interprofessional Practice and Education. Tell us a little bit about your philosophy around interprofessional education.
I learned that in order to ensure quality safe, patient-centered care, it requires a team. Four critical domains: values and ethics, roles and responsibility, interprofessional communication, and more importantly, team building. That serves a purpose. I had an experience at Western University back in May. I was in a primary care center listening to a D3 or P3 podiatry student with a patient who had uncontrolled diabetes with foot and ankle ulcers. At the end of the session, he told the patient, "Now go to the third floor and talk to the dentist about your periodontal gum disease." I said, "Cha-ching. We are making moves." And so here at Howard University, my objective is to support you and others to get IPE going. But I got to tell you, the Affordable Care Law, Institute of Medicine Report, all speak to all providers of health care being part of the team. And so that's my passion. That's my today's passion.
Yes, I think the patient is the center of our affection. And as long as we continue to do that, it will become the right obsession, as they say. Now, looking at the experiences you've had, the boards you've sat on, other schools, et cetera, we've spoken about the changes in the application process and the fact that we need to fortify the pipeline. What about the status of faculty, and how difficult is it to get faculty to get into education versus private practice today?
The difficult thing today with faculty, Mr. President, twofold. One, younger graduates, because of their debt, literally have a difficult time making a decision about academics. My philosophy is very simple. We grow our own. We've been blessed to have W.K. Kellogg Foundation grant. We have an SNDEP grant here that you're well aware of. And it takes a while, long term, but we begin to plant the seed to look at the future growth of young men and women who want to be in dental academics. In fact, for that matter, in healthcare academics. And so the challenge has been to get individuals, and of course I'm retired military, so I've been sort of fortunate to know a lot of militaries who are retiring now. And so we have gone through the process of really recruiting individuals who are still in the area to come to Howard to be part of our faculty. And more importantly, we have been so successful, Mr. President, in the last several years with our matching program for postdoctoral training. We have young men and women who are all over this nation, Iowa, UCLA, Penn. So we have made a difference in influencing the lives of particularly minority faculty members. And we've been fortunate to have W.K. Kellogg Foundation, Minority Dental Faculty Development Grant. And that's been in fact, today we were renewed for another year. Excellent. And so that's a positive thing.
Right. Any new changes at the dental school that you think any prospective applicants should know about, any prospective faculty should know about, that you think are exciting and represent why people should be joining Howard University's College of Dentistry?
Yes, sir. Our increase in use of technology. We're getting ready to unveil here this year, hopefully by the summer, our digital radiology systems. We're adding now to our faculty practice plan the technology used with our surgical sim lab. I have people now excited about going down with Dr. Ford and others to be creative in an IPE setting to use that as a platform for teaching and learning. So that itself is a draw. We just had a young man come in, and you'll see his record soon, who hopefully will come to be our new oral surgeon in the hospital, who went down there and literally said, "I got to be here."
Well, excellent. you are a Howard alum.
Yes, sir.
Two and two. As you said, two-time Howard alum. Tell me what your opinion is of our great university.
There's no other place, and I will say it as you heard me say before, we're unique and truly irreplaceable. The values of Veritas et Utilitas speaks loudly. Your signature block speaks loudly to truth and service. And I can tell you, I wouldn't change the world today if I could. I'd be back at Howard University again as a student.
Well said, Dean Rouse. Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Dean Leo Rouse from the College of Dentistry here at Howard University. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick right here on the Howard University Radio Network.
Howard University Radio Network is WHUR World on HD2. Student run WHBC HD3. GlassHouseRadio.com. HUR Voices Sirius XM 141. HBCU Sirius XM 142. And 96.3 WHUR Washington.